Have you heard the term God's move, or God is on the move, or the move of God? There's a lot of different ways. You know, God is an active God. But I was thinking, I don't know about you, but a lot of times in the past year, the roads have been challenging. They've been doing repair work. They've been resurfacing the roads. They give you a little detour sign and all that stuff. Well, although sometimes you'll run across a road closure, you can feel extremely annoying at times. I know I do. However, the result is usually a cleaner, clearer, smoother road. You know, they smooth out the bumps. They remove all them potholes from the winter before, and they get rid of stray gravel, and they smooth the sharp edges. And, you know, even if you get your right tire off of the edge of the road, sometimes if they don't maintain that right, it'll throw you and could possibly cause an accident. But I was just wondering, have you ever driven on a brand new road? Well, here on 19 where we live, they resurfaced it this year, and it's black. You notice it when you come from another road, like coming from Georgia, and you get on. You can tell it's a brand new road, you know, and it's really cool. It's smooth, and I don't know, it always just feels exhilarating when they first do it, and it does drive easier, and the car doesn't make wind noise and all that, or tire noise. But what is the best part of a new road that you might experience? Well, no more detours. That'd be a good thing. And you could just, you know, like drive straight through. It's kind of a new beginning. I said all that to say this, because in our scripture this week, that's what John, who we call the Baptist, announced during the second Sunday of Advent before the appearance of Jesus. We learn from Luke that it was in the 15th year of the rule of Emperor Tiberius. Pontius Pilate was governor over Judea. Herod was ruler over Galilee. And Philip ruled over Itura and Tachonitis and Lysias. And he also ruled over Abilene. Annas and Caiaphas, they were high priests. And all of this background pinpoints the timing of what John was talking about, and his call was, clear the way for the Lord. Now, Luke tells us that John went all throughout the region along the Jordan River on both sides, calling for people to be baptized to show that they were changing their hearts and their lives, and they wanted God to forgive them sins. And Luke tells us that it was the fulfillment of the Isaiah scroll. Oh, it's an Old Testament reading this week. It's in Isaiah chapter 40, and this is what it says. A voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all humanity shall see the salvation of God. Wow. Repentance, that's what John was saying. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, that word repentance is one of those words that we usually don't deem as, well, old-fashioned, because we don't talk much about repentance anymore, and we should. I talk about it a lot here at Bethel. But some churches don't even worry about saying, well, you got to repent. And yet, it was the central theme of John's message. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And it would be the central theme of Jesus' message, too. Everything begins with repentance. While in the Hebrew scriptures, the idea of repentance involves turning back or turning towards God, in the Greek New Testament, the word metanoia typically means change your mind, to make complete reset, to leave your past condition behind and to recondition your brain towards living a different future. And it involves putting your mind and heart in a condition of being prepared to receive God's grace. Wow. It's a profound commitment to align with God's will for your life. And if you notice the words and the condition and align, this is the kind of definition that John must have drawn upon when he was announcing Isaiah's prophecy. In fact, it's the kind of definition of repentance that Isaiah must have imagined as well. So repentance isn't a mere sloshing over one's past or misdeed. No. You know what happens when you do a quick fix on a road or anything else? No time at all, it's back to being treacherous and bumpy. Now, repentance means a deeper reconditioning of the entire road. You have to dig deeply into the dirt and chuck out the stumbling stones and remove the layers of debris and damage and replace it with brand new material. Whether it be concrete, pitch, stone, macadam, a brand new road can now get you where you are intending to go. But it has to be done right, or the brand new road won't last long. So sometimes we look at John's call for repentance and baptism as it's just a quick affirmation. But in fact, that's not how road repair works. No. It's not a quick process, and repentance certainly not a quick process. Sometimes it takes a good long while because it requires us to go through some messiness, some digging up around our most secret internal places. Remove the unhealthy impedance and some of the filling of the holes, you know? Those empty places that we find sometimes too hard to patch. In the life that we live inside, not outside, but the ones inside, and you know, they need repair too sometimes. That's why repentance is so important. And sometimes you might say, well, I need to take some detours in my chosen path of repentance. But when God gets to work on your heart and your spirit, it's best to take that time. For when you emerge, you will feel brand new. And you'll find that life's path has become easier and straighter. This is what God does the best. And there's a reason why Jesus came. Tekton, that's a Greek word that you can find in the Strong's Concordance, number 3340. And really what it means is that he came as a craftsman, and in particular a carpenter. And he knows our souls and how they're constructed, and he knows the best way to repair them. After all, he created us. So John's call, in a sense, is a two-way street. We're called to prepare the way to make his path straight. And we must not block God's entryway into our hearts. You know, that is the unforgivable sin, as you heard me say, shutting God completely out of your life, blocking God's entrance into your heart. Unfortunately, there's some people that manage to do it. But if you often wondered if you did it, you don't have to worry about it because your conscience is telling you, no, you haven't done it. So we must be willing to allow God to commence work on our souls and then to do the soul work that's required in order to receive God's grace. This is part in the repentance story. We must remove the rocks and the stones and the impedance that keeps God at bay, unable to enter into our life. And then the second part of the covenant, then, is this. God's every valley shall be filled. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked shall be made straight. The rough ways will be made smooth. And all humanity will see the salvation of our God. So once you allow God in, God will begin the healing reparations of our heavy hearts, sagging spirits, rugged road ahead. So think about it. I don't know, but sometimes we all get this way, that we get feeling down and defeated. So think about this. Do you have a hole in your heart that no one has been able to fill? That's a heart-wrenching question, but it's a question that needs to be addressed. because God will fill that gap in your life, and God will complete that missing piece. You know, it's only a part of your life can be filled with anything. It can't be filled with the worldly things or anything else. It must be completely filled with God's love and grace. So, in your life, you have many impossible expectations. You got too many hills to climb with a negative or maybe a never reprieve or too much to do or just too much stress for this God thing. Are you feeling exhausted like you can't take one more step? Here's the good news. God will make your path walkable again. Have you ever made mistakes in your life that you feel that you can't forgive yourself or forgive anybody else? You know, does your past torture you sometimes? And does the meaning elude you? And you're all caught up a web of deceit, either with others or yourself? Ah, here's the good news again. God will set you straight and help you learn how to walk a new path in a brand new direction. Did you ever feel rough around the edges? Angry? Bitter? Has your grief made you hard or prickly or even hard-hearted? Do you struggle with a past? Your past just drives you nuts. It consumes you. Have you built fortresses or protection around you that no one can vanquish? And God will smooth your rough exterior and allow you to be vulnerable and feel loved and loving again. Now, these are questions. I can relate to every one of these questions because I have personally experienced it. But when Christ came into my life, little by little, he started pruning and I started repenting. And it'll just take you on a journey that is just unimaginable because God's love's evolved. You know, Jesus didn't come to judge the world. No, what Jesus said, no, I'm going to save the world. And when God comes into your life, your heart, your soul, you will know God's healing touch, and your life will never be the same in Jesus' name. I love that phrase. Do you long to sail more smoothly through these life icebergs? Do you want to find solace even amidst the storms? And do you believe that God can restore even the most roughed up life? I'm a witness to that. My life was really roughed up. And I still have struggles. It's not a perfect way in this world, because Jesus said in this world you're going to have trials and tribulation, but fear not, I've overcome the world. And I hang on to that. So all you have to do is let him into your heart. This is John's good news, John the Baptist, this news that we celebrate in this time of Advent. This is the meaning of the birth of Christ and the incarnation of Jesus. He has come to repair the world, and all humanity will seek God's salvation. There's no soul too wretched for Jesus to heal. There's no heart too damaged for God to repair. There's no road too rocky for Jesus to clear. And there's no road beyond God's loving care. Oh yeah, it may take some time. And it may be a few detours along the way, but the results will always be worth it. So during this Advent season, think about this as we prepare and make room in our heart for God's gift of grace. Receive Jesus' healing spirit. Thank you, Father, for coming and sending your Son to pay the price for all of my failures and sins. Thank you, Jesus, for following through and being not only worthy, but also that you stayed true to what God asked you to come to do through the death, the burial, and the resurrection, and the promise of the Holy Spirit. You have given us a wonderful, wonderful life, and to look forward to eternal life on top of it. So keep on keeping on in Jesus' name, but make sure you ask him to come into your heart. Have a wonderful day, and continue to think about things all through this Advent season. God will honor your request, and he'll give you the peace that passes all understanding. In Jesus' name, have a good day.